for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2010 Thanksgiving Camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Saturday afternoon, November the 27th, 2010. Carla Batard is the speaker of the afternoon, teaching on religious antichrist spirits.
I haven't told this little story in a long time. Somebody reminded me of it earlier. When I first started getting up here and teaching, I was very nervous. And so to break the ice, I would tell a little story, a little funny about myself. And I'll tell you one of the earliest ones. It has to do with being literal. I am a literal-minded person. And so when Mike and I bought our first house, there was a lady who lived behind us. Our backyards met at the fence. And the first time I met her, she had a beautiful garden. Her whole backyard was garden. And my whole backyard was just grass. And so she said, well, anytime you need green onions, don't you go to the store, you call me. And I said, well, don't tell me that unless you really mean it, because I'll call you. She said, well, you call me anytime. So I called her very often because I use green onions a lot. And she would go dig them out of her garden and wash it. It was just like coming from the grocery store. So one day she met me at the fence, and she had the green onions and with the roots and a clod of dirt on the roots. And I thought, uh-oh, she's tired of me calling. She said, now don't think that I'm tired of you calling, but if you have a spot of dirt anywhere in your yard, and I said, I do. I have a little square flower bed in my front by the front door. She said, well, all you do is cut the tops off and stick them in the ground, and you will have green onions. Well, at this time, my dad was in the process of dying, but he could still drive and bring his little oxygen tank with him, and he would come over every day and have coffee with me. And my daddy was a gardener. I wasn't, but he was. And he would always be interested. I would have flowers of the season that I would replant every time I went to the store because I couldn't keep them alive. But anyway, he saw those green onions. So I went home, and I cut the tops off, and I made a hole in the dirt and put them in there. And he came over, and he saw those green onions, and he said, when did you plant those green onions? I said, this morning. So we went inside, and he's stirring his coffee, and he looks over by the sink where the clod of dirt and the roots were. And he said, what is that? And I said, the bottom of those green onions. And I thought he was going to die laughing, literally die. He was like, breathe, Dad, breathe. But he said, nothing from my loins is that stupid. I said, Daddy, I did exactly what she told me to do. She told me to cut the tops off and put them in the ground. Now, y'all are all probably thinking, and we're going to listen to her? But I say that to make the point that the gospel of Jesus Christ is simple. It's simple. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to understand the gospel. And because of that, most rocket scientists don't get it. But because I'm literal-minded, when I read it, when it said, call on the elders of the church and be anointed with oil and pray the prayer of faith, I believed it. And I did it. What I read, I believed, and I began to do it. And just marvelous things begin to happen. So that's just a little story to let y'all have some insight into me. I used to say I'm a very simple-minded person. I was rebuked for that. So I will say I am probably the most uncomplicated person you will ever know. So I love to approach the gospel like that and hope that I can make it uncomplicated so that you can understand what it is that God is wanting to say. Before I start, right now, in the name of Jesus, I take authority over every spirit of the witch. I bind it and break it in Jesus' name. Every spirit of the witch, the wizard, the warlock, the witch doctor, every spirit that wants to hinder and block the Word of God from coming forth, every antichrist spirit, I bind you and break you in Jesus' name. And I send out the warring angels right now to scramble the plans and the assignment that the enemy has against this message, against this campground, against the vision of this campground, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Okay, well today I'm going to talk about a subject that the Lord gave me the title. He only said the title. And I said, well, Lord, you're going to have to tell me how to deliver this one because that's not something I really want to address. And it is religious spirits. So it could be religious spirits / antichrist spirits, because that is what the religious spirit is. It is an antichrist spirit. It is against everything that Christ wants us to have. The antichrist spirit does not want us to have it. And it is alive and well, sad to say, in the church, the body of Christ, many religious spirits. And I believe the reason for that is because we've all come from different places. Everyone who enters into the body of Christ has a background. They've been taught things. There's tradition in their families and in their bloodlines that have come down. And so we all come into the body of Christ like Lazarus came into his new life. He was bound with grave clothes. And many of us come into the body of Christ bound with grave clothes that we have picked up over our lifetime. So I'm going to start with one scripture, Matthew 5:20. I guess that could be the basis of this teaching, Matthew 5:20. And there's a ton of scriptures in here, so we're just going to look at scriptures. They speak for themselves. I'm not going to have to say too much. 5:20, and it says, and this is Jesus speaking, he says, "For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven." Because there is the religious, and then there is the real. And God wants us to enter into the real thing. There are some definitions here. As I started looking at this, I said to the Lord, you know, you're going to have to show me how to present this. So I had started reading the New Testament over again and had never done this before. But all of a sudden, as I read, I found myself circling everywhere that it would say the scribes and the Pharisees or the Pharisees and the Sadducees or the rulers of the synagogue or the elders or the chief priests and all of these things. And one day I thought, that's interesting. I wonder why I'm circling all this. Well, when I started looking back, God showed me that everywhere those are mentioned, you're going to find the religious spirit. So, let's look at, let me give you the definition. So I looked up the word scribes and the word Pharisees. So in the Strong's Concordance of the scribe, it says a writer, such as professionally, like a secretary or a town clerk. In Webster's, it says a scholar of the Jewish law in New Testament times. A copier of manuscripts. Okay. Now, later I found Jesus' definition of a scribe. If you'll turn to Mark chapter 12, we'll see what Jesus, of course I really like his definition, 12:38. Mark 12:38. And Jesus said unto them, in his doctrine, "Beware of the scribes." Now he's going to tell you who they are. "Who love to go in long clothing and love salutations in the marketplace and the chief seats in the synagogues and the uppermost places at feasts." So these were like the self-appointed, self-appointed important. They were like the self-appointed important people. They liked that notoriety. And so Jesus, they liked to be acknowledged and given honor. And they dressed in a certain way so that you could recognize them easily. They wanted to really stand out. Okay, and then it says another, describes in the Pharisees, is that what it said? No, just the scribes. Okay, now, the second scripture is Luke 18, verse 9. Let's look at Luke 18, verse 9. Okay. It says, and he spoke this parable unto certain who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector or a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus within himself, God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not lift up so much his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And Jesus said, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalts himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. So you see, this Pharisee was a prideful man. He walked in. It would be like somebody walking in back there and standing against the wall and looking at all of us and saying, man, I'm glad I'm not like, Lord, I thank you I'm not like her or him and her. So he had, Jesus said that they trusted in themselves. They had self-righteousness. They had pride. So here he mentions the Pharisees. So here's the definition of the Pharisees. Their righteousness was their obedience to the law. They followed the law, and their works is what they based their righteousness in. The Strong's Concordance says of a Pharisee, a separatist, such as exclusively religious, and they were a sect of the Jews. Webster says, a member of a Jewish sect of New Testament times noted for their strict observance of rites and ceremonies of the written law and for insistence on the validity of the oral tradition. A Pharisaical person marked by hypocritical, censorious, and that's sternly critical, self-righteousness. So that's the definition from Strong's and Webster of the Pharisees. Now, let's look at five times in chapter 5 of Matthew. It is written, Jesus said, well, let's turn there. Matthew chapter 5, go back to there. Five times it is said, ye have heard that it was said of them by old. Now, this is what we know as the Sermon on the Mount. And he says in verse 21, ye have heard that it was said of them by old, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of judgment. That was the law. But now, Jesus said, but I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of judgment. See, Jesus came and he broke all of their traditions. That's why they didn't like him. And those were all religious spirits. And here he was, the Son of God, the perfect one. And yet, the religious folk didn't take to him too lightly for that reason. Over in verse 27, ye have heard that it was said of them by old, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. That's a big difference. See, he's challenging all of their religion, all of their tradition. Of course we're not supposed to commit adultery, but Jesus is pointing out to them that it's way more than what they think it is. In verse 33, again, you have heard that it hath been said of them by old, thou shalt not perjure thyself, but shalt perform unto the Lord thine oath. But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Neither shalt thou swear by thy head, because thou canst make one hair white or black. But let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay, for whatever is more than these cometh of evil. And I thought about that one day because I think there was something said that they wanted to, like the oath that you take in a courtroom. They don't say, so help you God. So, oh, that was just bad to me. Although I'm thinking, isn't it just like the devil to bring something into the courtroom and make somebody swear by it when the word says, let your yea be yea and your nay be nay, and anything beyond that is evil. And yet we're going to put our hand, and of course it's the Bible they're going to use, the very thing that says not to do that. They're going to use the Bible and make us say an oath when it says not to do that. Let your yea be yea and your nay be nay. Okay, verse 38. You have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if a man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him too. Give to him that asked thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not away. See, all these things were unheard of, and yet here is the Son of God being rejected by all of these religious spirits of the Pharisees. Again, in 43, you have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them who despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the sons of your Father who is in heaven. So he must have seemed like a pretty radical guy walking around saying these things that had never been heard before. This was the religion of the day, and yet he is stepping all over their sacred cows. Religious spirits are like that. What he is talking about, ye hath heard that it had been said of old. That is tradition. He's talking about the tradition that they had known. And the word says that what tradition does is it makes the word of God of no effect. And yet all of the churches that we have come out of have their traditions. And then we come into something and hear something strange. Of course, most of us who are here have heard things that have gone beyond what doctrines we grew up under, and we have accepted those things. But there's still some others that are still lingering that we make judgments by. Look at John 8:16. John 8:16. Is that one? This is after Jesus. Okay, let's look at 13. The Pharisees therefore said unto him, thou bearest witness of thyself, thy witness is not true. Here they call Jesus a liar. That's the religious spirit that cannot recognize the true Son of God and the truth. They call him a liar. That's not the point that I had here. It's like when Jesus healed the blind man, the Pharisees said of Jesus, this man is not of God because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. See, they will miss, the religious spirit will miss the miracle of God because it doesn't line up with their letter of the law doctrine. And even to go so far as, this man is not of God. If he was of God, he wouldn't be doing this on the Sabbath day. See how that, it's a strict thing, those religious spirits. Okay, let's look at Matthew 7:1. Judge not that ye be not judged, for with judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure ye measure, it shall be measured to you again. Boy, we could stop right there and spend all afternoon on that scripture. And Jesus says, and why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull the mote out of thine eye, and behold, the beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, he said. Now here he is calling them hypocrites. First cast the beam out of thine own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly to cast the mote out of thy brother's eye. So, they will find fault. The religious spirits are always finding fault with everything that Jesus did. And as Jerry said earlier, it's going to happen to you too. The religious spirits will find fault with whatever, the gift of God in you, basically. Whatever gift it is. Those religious spirits are going to hone in and attack the gift of God in you because it's an antichrist spirit. It does not like the work of God, the Word of God. It doesn't like the truth. It's an antichrist spirit. Okay, so that there's criticizing there and fault finding. Look at Matthew 11. So after I had read through the New Testament and I realized that all of these things that were circled, that's where the religious spirits were. I started putting a big R out beside it. So when I got ready to put this down, all I had to do was look for the R's and find those religious spirits. Matthew 11:18-19. This is Jesus speaking. For John the Baptist came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, he has a demon. Now, I looked up those words, eating and drinking. You know, we think we know what those words mean, eating and drinking. But in Strong's Concordance, under that word eating, it means meat. So I wondered, was John a vegetarian? Maybe he wasn't a meat eater. And drink doesn't mean just water or whatever. It means strong drink, wine, alcoholic beverages. So here, the religious spirits are saying that John the Baptist had a demon because he wouldn't eat meat like the rest of them and he wouldn't drink like the rest of them. So they were finding fault with John the Baptist about that. But in verse 19 it said, Jesus says, the Son of Man, in other words, I come, the Son of Man, came eating and drinking, and they say, behold, that man is a glutton and a wine-bibber, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. But wisdom is justified by her children. So you see how these religious spirits, they're not consistent. They'll criticize one for this because he doesn't eat and drink, and then here comes this one eating and drinking, and they criticize him for eating and drinking. It's those are fault-finding spirits. They're inconsistent in their judgment. Look at Matthew 12:24. Okay, Jesus had just healed a blind man. Up in verse 22, it says, then was brought unto him one possessed with a demon, blind and dumb, and he healed him insomuch that the blind and dumb both spoke and saw. And all the people were amazed and said, is not this the Son of David? But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow doth not cast out demons, but by Beelzebub, the prince of demons. Here they are. See, they can't even recognize the work of God. Now they are accusing him of using the devil's power to cast out demons. You see how confused these religious spirits are? And how damaging they are? We need to recognize these religious spirits, especially if they are in us. They call the Holy One evil. That's an Antichrist spirit. Okay? That story is also in Mark 3, 22 and 23, and Luke 11, 15. Let's look at Matthew 16. Matthew 16, 1 through 12. Okay. The Pharisees with the Sadducees came and testing him, desired that he would show them a sign from heaven. He answered and said unto them, when it's evening, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red, and in the morning it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and overcast. O ye hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the time. A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall be no sign given unto it but the sign of the prophet Jonah. And he left them and departed. And when his disciples were come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. Then Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have taken no bread. Which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves because ye have brought no bread? Do ye not yet understand? Neither remember the 5 loaves and the 5,000 and how many baskets ye took up? Neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000 and how many baskets ye took up? How is it that ye do not understand that I spoke not to you concerning bread, but that ye should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees? Then understood they that he bade them not to beware of the leaven of the bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees, which was unbelief. They had unbelief. Now let me tell you about the Sadducees. I got tickled. I have an aunt and uncle that go to a Baptist church, and they were in the adult Sunday school class. And I don't know that my uncle had ever gone to a Sunday school class. But they were asking people to read out loud, and he had the in the scripture the word Sadducees, and he was reading it, and he called them the Sadducees. Which it is hard sometimes if you don't know what these words are. But he called them the Sadducees. And I thought, well, that's pretty good too. But anyway, the Sadducees, according to Strong's, is a follower of a certain heretical Israelite. And heretical means the opinion was contrary to orthodox belief. So they even had divisions among themselves. But that's what a Sadducee was. Now, in the Strong's Concordance, it says, a member of a Jewish party of Jesus' day consisting largely of a priestly aristocracy and rejecting the doctrines of Jesus. Do you see the Antichrist spirit there? They rejected the doctrines of Jesus. And then Jesus says of the Sadducees in Matthew 22:23, this is Jesus' definition. Then came the Sadducees who say that there is no resurrection. So that's his. That's the way he would describe a Sadducee. And that's why they're sad, you see. Because there was no hope without the resurrection. There was no hope. So this priestly aristocracy, I didn't know what an aristocracy was. So I looked that up in the dictionary, and it says a minority group of those feeling superior because of wealth, culture, or intelligence. A government in which power is exercised by a minority, especially of those felt to be best qualified. So we all know that type. They're too good, they're better than everybody else, and kind of snobbish. William could tell us about that government thing. So see, we have doctrines today that they might believe in the resurrection, but there are other things in the doctrine of Jesus that they don't believe. They don't believe in speaking in tongues. They don't believe in laying on hands to heal the sick. They don't believe in deliverance. You know, we're just kooky. A demon, please. You know, all they know of demons is what they've seen in the movies. And society has done, the media and the entertainment industry has done very well to make us think that that's all make-believe, that it's very real. So unbelief is an antichrist spirit. So if you have any areas of unbelief, then you know what's behind it. It's a religious spirit. It's an antichrist spirit. And even in their day, in the early church, it is spoken in 1 John. It talks about the antichrist spirit, which there are already antichrist spirit in the world, it says. It's been there from the beginning. Okay, Matthew 21:12-17. Let's see, we read that. No, I read 1 through 12. Okay. No, I read 12 through. Okay, wait a minute now. Oh, okay. Verse 12. Matthew 21:12. And Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves and said unto them, It is written, My house shall be called the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. And when the chief priests and scribes, here we have a couple more of these religious folk, the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did and the children crying in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were very displeased. This is what the religious spirits will do when, they see tables being turned over. And here comes Jesus, this radical who's talking all this stuff, and this is what they've always done. You know, and here he comes in and he's making a big disturbance. They were very displeased. How dare him? And this is the Son of God. But religious spirits don't see that. They don't understand. They have no understanding. So they were very displeased. And he said unto them, Hearest thou what these say? And Jesus said unto them, Yea, have you never read, Out of the mouths of babes and sucklings thou hast perfected praise? And he left them and went out of the city into Bethany, and he lodged there. So they were displeased with the true works of God. And that's also mentioned in Mark 3, 1 through 6. In Luke 6, 11, it says they were filled with fury. Luke 13, 14, the ruler was mad. Let's look at that. Luke 13, 14. You need to hear that because religious spirits are real picky about this. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day. Here again, they're going to miss the miracle because one of their traditional rules got broken. Those religious spirits, they are the letter of the law. They will miss the miracle to criticize one of their traditional rules that gets broken. So we have to watch for that as well. He said, he healed on the Sabbath day and said to the people, now there's a crowd around, and you know they had to be impressed with the miracle. But now this guy's going to speak up and say, hey, there are 6 days in which men ought to work, and then therefore come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. So he's ready to just do away with the miracle. I'm sure the guy that got healed didn't mind it at all. Whatever sect he belonged to, he was healed. So they get very displeased and angry. Look at Luke 7:49. No, John 5:10. Let me see, John 5:10. John 5:10 says, The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, It is the Sabbath day. It is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. Jesus said, Take up your bed and walk. And he does it. And now they miss the miracle to say, Hey, you're not supposed to be carrying that bed on the Sabbath. Doesn't that sound ridiculous? That the religious spirits are going to hold you to they're looking, they're just waiting for you to mess up. They won't even recognize the miracle or the true work of God. They're going to criticize that you did it on the Sabbath day. Okay, look at Matthew 21:23. And when he was coming to the temple, the chief priests and the elders, here we go again. Let me go back to those scribes. The chief priests were the high priests, who were the high priests in those days, were a type of Christ. They were a type of Christ. And then when Christ came, they didn't even recognize that really their thing was fulfilled. And now here's the true one. They didn't like that either. They didn't want to lose their place. And the rulers of the synagogue, let's see, it says the chief priests and the elders. Okay, the elders were older, specifically an Israeli Sanhedrin, the Supreme Council and Religious, Civil, and Criminal Court of the Jews in New Testament times. That's who the elders were. And then, so these are the chief priests and the elders of the people came unto him as he was teaching and said, "By what authority dost thou these things?" Now they're going to question his authority. I mean, he is demonstrating the power of God, things that have never been done before, and they're not even catching that it is written in the Old Testament. This is how you're going to recognize the Messiah. They knew the word. They knew the law. And yet when he came, they missed it. Now they're wanting to know, by what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority? And Jesus answered and said, I also will ask you one thing, which if you tell me, I likewise will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, from where was it? From heaven or from men? And they reasoned with themselves, saying, you know, you could just see him over here trying to figure out what he just said. And they said, now wait a minute. If we say from heaven, then he will say to us, why did we not believe him? But if we say from men, then we fear the people. For all held John as a prophet. Can you just see him trying to figure out what in the world they're going to say? And they answered Jesus and said, we can't tell you. We're not going to tell you. It was really... And he said unto them, neither tell I you by what authority I do these things. See, that was their test. They were testing Jesus. And religious spirits will do that too. They're going to test you and try you and try to trick you and trip you up. I had a man one time after I spoke, and we went, not the man and I, but a group of ladies were walking down the road, and we ran into the man. And he said, well, I really enjoyed your message. He said, that reminded me of in the book of, I can't remember what it was now that he said, the book of Hezekiah. In the book of Hezekiah, la, 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 la. And I said, well, I'm not familiar with that. I'll have to look that up. And he went, there is no book of Hezekiah. So you see, whatever they did to Jesus, they're going to do to you too. I can relate to that. I said, oh, I would have found that out. I wasn't a Baptist, so I didn't memorize all the books of the Bible. And there are a few. Sometimes I still have to look in my contents to find it. I don't mind that. Okay. Well, maybe he did, but anyway. And I'll tell you, I'm not condemning anybody. I used to have the biggest religious spirit there was. I would go to a camp like this, and if a woman got up behind the pulpit, I would pick up my stuff and walk out. Isn't that hilarious? That's a religious spirit. But you know, in the beginning, we come out of those things, and God is gracious to, as we grow, we get rid of those things. So it's a process. But we don't want these religious spirits. So they question Jesus' authority. In Luke 4:22, this was 4:22. And all bore witness, and all bore him witness. This is right after Luke 4:18, when he read from the book of Isaiah, whichever one it is. But anyway, he read, and then he said, today this scripture is fulfilled in your ears. In other words, he's saying, I am the one that this was written about. Well, okay. In 22, and all bore him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth, and they said, isn't this Joseph's son? So they're questioning, how can this be him? We know this kid. This is Joseph's son. He grew up right down the street from me. I know his whole family. You know, how can this be? They couldn't recognize it, even though he was telling them out of his own mouth. He said, you will surely say unto me this proverb, physician, heal thyself. Whatever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in thy country. And he said, verily, I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. So see, Jesus was letting us know that those who are closest to you are not going to recognize God in you. Hey, I know you. Don't forget I grew up with you. You know, that's what they were doing, basically. So he was not even honored in his own country. Matthew 21, 45 and 46. Matthew 21. And when the chief priests and Pharisees had heard his parables, they perceived that he spoke of them. Yeah, I liked this. He said in 42, did you never read in the scriptures the stone which the builders rejected? The same has become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore say I unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits of it. And whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. And when the chief priests and Pharisees heard his parables, they perceived that he spoke of them. See, Jesus was really good at doing that. He would mention, and then you would get it. You would get what he was saying. Hey, he's talking about us. And they were offended. In 46, but when they sought to lay hands on him, they feared the multitude because they regarded him as a prophet. Look at verse 31 over there. It says, he's talking about the two sons, you know, the father says to two sons, go do this, and one son said, I will not. And later he changed his mind, and then he told the other one, and the other one said, I'll do it, but didn't. So which one of these? Which of the two did the will of his father? They say unto him, the first. Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you that the tax collectors and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you.
Wow.
That was pretty heavy. For John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and you believed him not. But the tax collectors and the harlots believed him, and ye, when ye had seen, repented not afterward that ye might believe in him. They wanted to lay hands on him. That made them so mad, they were ready to kill him. They were offended at what he said. Matthew 22:15. Then went the Pharisees and took counsel how they might entangle him in his talk. And they sat out, and they sent unto him their disciples with the Herodians, who were devoted followers of Herod, saying, Master, we know that thou art true, and teachest the way of God in truth, neither carest thou for any man, for thou regardest not the person of men. Tell us, therefore, what thinkest thou? Is it lawful to give tribute to Caesar or not? Here comes another test. They're going to test Jesus. And I love this. Jesus perceived their wickedness and said, why test me, ye hypocrites? See, Jesus perceived. He had perception. Lord, give us that kind of perception that we might perceive when we're being set up. Give us wisdom. And Jesus basically said, show me the money. That was a famous line in a movie. We all thought he came up with that. Jesus said, show me the money. Show me the tribute money. And you know the rest of it. Okay, so now look at Matthew 23, 2 through 15. Okay, then spoke Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, "The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All, therefore, whatever they bid you, observe. Observe and do, but do not after their works, for they say, and do not. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers, but all their works they do to be seen of men." There's the religious spirit. They're doing these works to be seen and praised by men. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments. They move with these big sweeping, you know, they have arrived. They make a show. And love the uppermost places at feasts and the chief seats in the synagogues and greetings in the marketplaces and to be called by men, Rabbi, Rabbi. But be not ye called Rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all ye are brethren. And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father who is in heaven. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Let me see Mark 10:31. I have that. Mark 10:31. But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. So instead of this parade, how they parade themselves, Jesus said, it's the humble servant that's the true servant of God. So it says they bind with burdens and cause grief. That is a religious spirit. You'll get saved and join a church, and they will put you to such work you can't even enjoy your salvation. Religious spirits. Okay. Matthew 24:21. And you can do this too in your Bible. If you want to circle those scribes and Pharisees, the Sadducees, the chief priests, the rulers, the elders, the rulers of the synagogues, all these fellows, the elders, the lawyers, we'll get to them in a minute. Matthew 24:21. Here's a warning. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should be no flesh saved, but for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall be the coming of the Son of Man be. For wherever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. He's telling us that false Christ and false prophets will arise. And we have them. They're already out there. And many people are chasing after these signs. It says great signs and wonders. They're out there. You can find them. But, you know, just as the religious spirits wouldn't believe that Jesus was who he was because of the true work of God he was doing, there will be those who will be deceived by the great signs and wonders.
This is the end of part A. Please play part B. Thank you. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.